a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
All righty, sports fans, we're riveted to the television here in the KSL News Radio's studio here. This is KSL's Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell, Alex Keery. They're trying to determine whether it was a interception or not, and apparently by Bruce Arians' reaction,
it's not going well for him.
An interception.
The thing is if I'm a ref on the sideline, like if Bill Belichick came by and grumbled at me, it'd be one thing. But Bruce Arians, like, you can read every word that comes out of that guy's mouth.
There are certain coaches that are really good at this.
And he wears that unnerving radio pack on his chest. it looks like he's going to hit you with the paddles. You know what I mean? Like, he's going to revive you there in the middle of the field. Tom Brady, a rare tip at the line. No, I think his receiver didn't catch it, and then it ended up being an interception. These are fun games for us to watch. I love watching these on Thursday night. Hey, joining us right now on KSL's Unrivaled, he's the host of Cougar Sports Saturday, along with Mitch Harper, every Saturday right here. And look, this has been a whole season, or the last couple weeks at least, of getting extended Cougar Sports Saturday coverage. You're going to get it again this week at 10 a.m. The guys are going to grace the airwaves and already break down BYU versus Baylor down in Waco. At the very least, I think Mitch is going to be down in Waco. Matt, are you making the trip down to Central Texas, buddy?
No, I'm not making this one. I'm still a little the air is out of the sails after the Boise State loss. So I figured I better stick around.
Wow!
Are you in the tank?
BYU fan in the tank suddenly. What?
Oh man!
I'm not in the tank. But it would have been it would have been a last second thing if they were undefeated. Then I'm gonna go to all the games. And now let's be real here, guys. The special season is probably gone, and now what's at play is a great season, and I'm not going to make a last-second trip to Texas for a great season.
How dare you, first of all.
That's why I'm sticking around. I'm surprised you guys are shocked by this.
I'm totally shocked. Well,
I'm shocked that you're taking shots in my home state, too. I mean, there's that whole thing where you're just like, I'm not going to take a last-second trip to Texas. But I get it. Waco's not that exciting anyway. But this is going to
be Washington. How many home states do you have, Alex?
Well, that was born in Texas.
Alex is kind of a homer.
Yeah,
he's a bit of a homer.
Wherever I can get. I'll be a Longhorns fan. I'll be a Huskies fan. Whatever you need. So there's so many things going on in the world of college football this weekend, and for BYU's world. We talked with Jaron earlier this week, and I think that it's one of the things we asked him was about. It must be nice to go back to just the forget about whether or not who's going to be getting the snaps. It's back to Jaron Hall, and he's at 100%. Well, at least he's going to be healthy enough to be the guy all week. How important is that going to be now to be getting all the reps during the week for him?
It's huge. I thought it was really interesting that he only got a third of the snaps, and then towards the latter end of the week before Boise State, he got half the snaps. That's just not enough preparation, and it really clued you into his health, which wasn't – I mean, we saw it in the game, guys, is he was not running the ball at all. And he's a good enough quarterback. I mean, he had over 300 yards, so he can he can lead BYU to wins if he doesn't run, but what makes him special is when he has that dual threat ability. So if he's closer to that against Baylor, that's going to be key. And I think you also saw in that Boise State game, guys, because I certainly didn't feel this way, and I know that you guys didn't. There was no way I thought Boise State would outrush BYU. And I think a part of that was Jaren Hall not running the football. So if he can get back to being a dual threat guy, like he told you guys earlier in the week here on Unrivaled, that bodes great for BYU because they need help in the run game if Tyler Allgeier kind of gets gobbled up at the line of scrimmage. They put extra guys in the box. If he can spread the field, get to the sideline, make some positive plays with his legs, I think it opens everything up. So if he's getting all the reps, then I think he's healthier, and that should lend to him running the football again.
Yeah, it's a challenge. You know, there's a fine line between you got to stay healthy, you got to stay in the game, to where he's just this tremendous weapon running the football, and figuring out how to stay healthy and how to still use that weapon is a fine balance. I can't say I have the right answer to something like that. It's certainly a field thing. So this week against Baylor, what is the biggest challenge for BYU facing the Baylor team?
It's a relative unknown, right?
Yeah,
it's definitely an unknown. They don't have any great wins yet. So yeah, they're close to being a top 25 offense, but they put it up against inferior competition. Now, the West Virginia win was nice, no doubt about it. It's West Virginia took Oklahoma to the brink, but I think the biggest challenge, guys, for BYU, it's crazy that I'm even saying this, but it's going to be running the football because injuries have certainly taken a toll on BYU's offensive line, and if they can't run the football, I think it makes it very hard to win on the road. What helped them so well when they beat Utah and when they beat Arizona State and when they beat Arizona is they could run the football, and it opened up the play action game, and it made them a dual threat offense. And that just wasn't the case against Boise State. I think Tyler Allgeier's longest run was 10 yards. So if you can't get that guy going, and I think one of the reasons he couldn't get going is Harris LeChance is out. Mason Wake, which I think is becoming a really underrated piece of this offense from a blocking perspective. But, he catches it out of the backfield, and you see the hurdles, and you know that A-Rod wants to take that away a little bit. But he was severely missed in the blocking aspect of BYU's rush attack. So if he can get back, if Harris LeChance can get back, and they can run the football, then I think that they can win. But if they run it like they did against Boise State, I think it's going to be a long afternoon for BYU.
One thing, too, that Jaren mentioned to us was uncharacteristic, the turnovers that they had, certainly compared to what they've been doing the rest of the season. And that's a loss that they also could just point right at and go, those two turnovers ended up being the game. Those two, that they gave up inside their own red zone, that a total of six plays later gave up two touchdowns. So how do you even address that? Because in Jaren's mind, it was like, yeah, that's not like us, and so we don't try to focus that much. We're not going to take the ball away from Lopini and from Tyler Allgeier. Those are two guys that carry the ball a ton and never fumble. And so they're treating it more like an anomaly more than something to freak out about.
Yeah, and Tyler's fumble, I wonder if you guys feel the same way, but Tyler's fumble, I think, was just a great play by the defender. Yeah. Someone came behind him, he wasn't in his line of sight, and punched the ball out. Like, that happens from time to time. Lopini's fumbles were a little concerning just because it felt like he was trying to do too much. On a kickoff return, he's stumbling, he puts his arm down and exposes the ball. And then on the second fumble, which is probably the most devastating turnover of the game for BYU, he tries to make that juke move at the end, and it's like, that's great that you want to make the extra play to get a couple extra yards or get into the end zone, but he's just got to get back to playing north and south football and take care of the ball. You don't need a couple extra yards on a kickoff return. Protect the football. So, and the Lopini thing too, maybe I'm being a little harsh, but those were his first two fumbles of his career.
Yeah.
So he had played four seasons before this with no fumbles. So maybe it is a thing of, hey, stuff happens, but that's not the trend with these guys, so we're just going to keep doing what we're doing. So I wouldn't be surprised if that's the case. But I also wouldn't be surprised, guys, too, if Jackson McChesney gets into the mix a little bit, because that's a guy that Harvey Unga and Aaron Roderick have talked about a lot this season, is knocking on the door. Is Jackson McChesney, he can catch it, he can run it, he can block. We saw him on that final drive against Boise State. I wonder if Lapini's fumbles may have opened the door a little bit to see Jackson McChesney, so that'll certainly be interesting. But to answer your question, I do think at the end of the day, it just was kind of fluky stuff that you can't really be concerned about because it hasn't been a problem.
The offensive coordinator, of course, is Jeff Grimes. These two staffs know each other very well. I think one of the interesting things is that, you know, whether or not you want to guess, if you were to put those two minds up against each other in terms of play caller, who gets the edge then on play calls, A-Rod or Jeff Grimes?
I'd give it to A-Rod. I think that A-Rod has shown to be more aggressive, and that tends to work in today's college football. He's talked about this a couple times. You just can't nickel and dime your way to a win anymore. And we kind of saw that against Boise State where they moved the ball up and down the field. They had one or two chunk plays that I can remember, but a lot of their drives were 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 plays, and then you can open yourself up to a turnover or a mistake, penalties for BYU. So I think that, because just in Jeff Grimes, his first 2 years at BYU, it was just protect the football and try and make it interesting in the fourth quarter. And there's been a little bit of that with Baylor. Now, I think Baylor has shown to be much more explosive than BYU was in his first year at BYU. But I would give the edge to A-Rod. I think that he's just more aggressive, more creative. I mean, that play last year against Houston, guys, the underhand, Mahomes shovel, the Mason Wake, that was something A-Rod identified from the Chiefs. So I just think that Aaron Roderick is a little more creative, whereas Jeff Grimes is more, we're going to build good habits, and then it'll eventually, we'll out-execute a team. So, but my personal preference right now is air it out, be aggressive, take chances. I think that favors Aaron Roderick and BYU.
Extra coverage from Cougar Sports Saturday this weekend here, a 10 a.m. start to an extended pregame as BYU will be kicking off. Of course, 1:30, 11:30 is going to be a pregame. Matt Biamonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday. Thanks, Matt. We'll talk to you again, man.
Yeah, have a good one, guys. Take care.
All right, taking the break here. We'll come back. We will discuss a little bit about the Utah Jazz here. All of this stuff that's being talked about at Silicon Slopes, the Jazz are popping up, and all the information we're getting out of this, guys, good stuff. Stay right here with us. More to go on.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.